Welcome into Playmakers Rugby Stories on Sky Sport. The Farah Palmer Cup starts this weekend, every single game live on Sky. And who better to dissect and analyse and have a look at how this competition is going to go than Black Ferns legend, Auckland assistant coach, Auckland women's high performance manager. Have I got all your titles, Anna Richards?
All-round good chick.
Oh,
you
sorry.
You may have missed that one. But,
yeah. I missed that. And general dog's body.
Yeah, general dog's body. Mostly general dog's body, let's be honest.
Thanks for coming in and having a look at this competition. Obviously, last year was so different, disrupted by COVID. So what are we going to see this year in terms of and how different it is going to be?
Yeah, like last year was hugely disruptive, especially the Auckland region, counties ourselves, North Harbour really struggled. We had a four-day lead-in to our first game, so that was interesting in itself. This year we've got an earlier start, so again we've been a little bit pushed for time trying to get our club competitions finished. We've had a 3.5 week lead-in, so not too much wriggle room there. But I think, you know, this year, I think the standard will be even better. You know, it was exciting last year with the Sevens girls. I thought they brought some zip to the whole competition and really padded out some teams. This year, I think there's a lot of youngies coming through from Ignite Sevens, you know, from like 3 years ago, who are really putting their hands up. So it's kind of exciting.
So we go back to a premiership championship format again this year after going split into North-South Pools, which is logical, right? It's the much better option to have it this way just because of the discrepancy in depth.
Yeah, I totally agree. We obviously had to do what we did last year and it was the economics of the whole affair. But this year it's nice to be back into the premiership championship. You won't see huge blowouts and I think that's good for the whole competition in general, in that you're going to get you're going to see the championship really push and you'll see the top person of that come through into the premiership next year.
So starting in mid-July, as I gather, this is going to be the new time slot for the FPC, right?
Yeah, it will not change.
Okay, and that is because of the World Rugby Global calendar and potentially a super calendar?
Yeah, so the way that's going to be structured is that the super calendar will be February, but the competition will be played in March. It'll finish the end of March. Then you'll go into a club scene competition from April through to June. During that scene, May, June, there's an international window that will be played. I think that might be the Oceania Pacific region.
Yep.
Then there's FPC. We'll always start mid-July, go through to the start of September, and then October through to November, you've got another international window.
Jeez.
So there's no overlap, but it's a pretty full calendar.
That's a condensed calendar. When you're planning and you're doing in your role in Auckland High Performance, and I'd imagine you probably want to have some involvement in Super as well, just put the CV in now, we'll get that sorted too. Are you planning now for next year already, even though you haven't even started this year's comp?
Yeah. Or it's in the back of your mind, like it's going to be, especially your top girls, especially the girls who will be involved with Black Ferns, you've got to really structure the year properly. So I don't think you'll see the top girls play club next year. That'll give them a little bit of a break. You'll see, with the World Cup, I don't think you'll see the top girls play FPC next year, which is great. It'll give lots of other girls an opportunity. But post the World Cup there, you just got to be careful of how the load that the players have got and where you give them rests.
Because we see young players. I mean, you've called them your creche that you had a couple of years ago in the Auckland squad. 16, 17, 18-year-olds who are coming in, playing alongside seasoned Black Ferns. The load on those young bodies is going to be quite a lot to manage over as we move into a more professional time for the women's game, right?
Yeah, I think too with kids, I shouldn't call them kids, players,
because they're very young.
They're very good players. But, you know, the girls who are like last year of school, they're very good at a number of sports and so they play a lot of sports at school. And that's where you get too much load.
Yeah, right.
You know, so take Sylvia Brunt, you know, she plays league, she plays rugby, she plays, you know, I think she was doing a triathlon at school, a duathlon and stuff like that. So you just got to be careful about how much they're doing. She also plays school, and that's played on a Monday. With players coming through, you want them to do around 9 to 11 sessions, and that's grass, gym, whatever, a week. So if they get more than that, then, and they're still growing, so there's kind of an ACL waiting to happen, so you've got to be very careful.
Does it blow your mind, like, I see these just incredibly accomplished young women who are at school, they're probably, half of them are head girls and prefects, they take on so much, then they're juggling all of this. Like, you guys are in at trainings early mornings during the week, and then they go off to school, right?
Yeah. They're very good. We try to work around their school schedule, so we've got a young girl at Howick, and she lives in Papakura, so we're like, well, if you can do your gym at school, do your gym at school, don't come here, because that's a big triangle we've got to be careful about what they're doing and how much they're doing, and we work around them and their school work rather than vice versa.
In the way that the calendar is going to change over the coming years, where does the Farah Palmer Cup sit in terms of its importance for someone like you and bringing these players through?
I think it's hugely important. And it has been our preeminent competition for a number of years, and I don't think we should now hand that over to maybe an elite competition. An elite competition but at the moment was going to be 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks max. So, again, that's a good step up for a lesser number of players, but you're always going to get, FPC is going to be the breeding ground of tomorrow's player.
Yeah. For you, when back in your day...
Oh, back in my day.
and you're playing, and I look now, and, all of these games are going to be televised. There's going to be kids at primary school, young girls, who are going to see Chelsea Elliott and Kendra Coxedge and Kennedy Simon, whoever else, Charmaine McMenamin, week in, week out. Who, for you, did you look at as you came through in provincial rugby? You were like
I was kind of at the start.
You were at the start. So, like, who did you have?
You looked at the boys, because I always followed the All Blacks massively. And Sid Going, he was, it's back in the day. but Brian Williams, just some of those, those guys coming through with that, Dave, the halfback.
Dave Loveridge,
yeah. So... I think you tried to emulate what they did. And when I played, rugby wasn't really an option, really. So it was kind of in its infancy. So how did
if it wasn't an option, I know we're going to talk about Farah Palmer Cup, but we'd go back in the archive a bit. How did you get into it? How did you go?
Well, I got dropped from netball.
Is that something to do with height?
No. It's just I was in the Canterbury netball team. It's an old story, but a goodie. And I got dropped by the coach, lovely woman, and her husband was my law lecturer, who was also the Canterbury University women's coach. And he lulled me into a false sense of security and said, come along and watch, which was a euphemism for come along, I'm going to chuck you on the field to play. And that's kind of how I started. And I enjoyed it. I was better. Turns out I was way better at rugby than I was at netball. But I still kept on playing netball for a little while.
Would you like to be playing in this era? Coming through these performance pathways and, full-on training and gym at 5 in the morning and all of that?
I did gym.
Well, you did. Sorry, I'm just...
I didn't enjoy it, but I did it. I'd like to be playing any time, to be honest, but I'm very happy to have played when I did.
Are we at a little bit of a crossroads for the women's game at the moment in terms of that moving? We've had these professional contracts for the senior players for a couple of years now, but they're still semi-professional. They're juggling and all of that. Now we've got a World Rugby, a global calendar, where FPC goes here, a super competition. Is it a little bit of a crossroads, a really important time to get this right and get it right now?
Yeah, I think it is, and we've got to remember it wasn't long ago that the boys went professional as well. We do have a number of professional contracts. Obviously, the Sevens girls are on full-time contracts. There are a couple of girls in the Black Ferns 15s who I think are on reasonable contracts as well, but the majority probably, they're still caught in that, do I still work, do I still this, I've still got a great job, I don't really want to give it up. So I would think we've got to get them to a stage where they prioritise rugby, and that's a priority, and then we can get them training properly and getting the best out of them. And I think, again, it's got to be NZRU just looking at the structure of the contracts and... I think they're going to do that at the end of this year. That's the end of this contracting. So,
and I guess that's a decision for individuals to make, right, too. Do you want to put your career into rugby, or do you want to be a perhaps a part-time, an FPC player, and stay doing your other work.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, funny enough, I used to be a lawyer and I quit and I worked part-time for 15 years to play rugby. So it's a choice and it's up to the individual. Yeah.
Where do you see, you played in some wonderful Black Ferns teams and wonderful teams across the board. The skill level, the way the game's played now, what are the differences that you see?
It's a real tough one because...
Comparing eras is always a tough one.
Is it as fast? Maybe not. Is it as skilled? There were some great skillful players I played with. So, you know, I suppose there's more people who have played rugby for a longer period of time, so from their five upwards, you know, whereas when I first started, a lot of us came into rugby after school. So I think that, and then that gives you probably a better vision decision because you'll be playing it longer, that sort of stuff. But probably they're better S&C wise. You know, there's better support that way. There's better support medically. There's better support mental skills. Better support nutrition.
Is there a bit more rugby nous maybe? Yeah, in terms of, like, I look at someone like a Patricia Mulliapoa, who, I mean, she's possibly a slightly different candidate anyway because she's incredible, but that game vision, the tactical awareness and all of that side of it.
I think that's something that just grows with years. Like, I think we forget that Patricia's Petu is only 18.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you can play and you can be a great school player, but when you get hit FPC, etc., and senior rugby, that's when you start to learn properly. So I was playing till I was 45 and I was still learning.
Yeah.
So it's a grade that you just keep on getting better at.
Is she one of the best talents you've seen in a while, Petu Mulliapoa?
Undoubtedly. Yeah. Undoubtedly. And, you know, the scary thing is a lot of people like Petu. You know, Sylvia Brandt is awesome. You know, we've got a couple of young girls in the Te Whito. Lafayeli, you know, she's going to be great. Liana, Michaeli, Maya Roos, you know, all young girls who are really on the rise.
Building depth in that next tier, given that there, as you said, you're going to need more players if the calendar's going to be what it's like. How do we build more depth in the women's game to have players ready to step from club to FPC, FPC to Super, and then hopefully Super to Black Ferns?
Yeah. And it's that age-old problem, is that you've got quite a few kids playing at school, but then there's a really big drop-off after school, and it's because life...
Yeah.
And it's hard to multitask. You know, at school, it's all kind of put on a plate for you. But I think with Auckland, like, we're targeting that under 15. So we've done, our community division have done amazing, and they've set up under 15 teams at all the clubs, but they're from the surrounding schools. So trying to keep players involved in that level, and then they can play in the, most schools only have one team, so it's your fifth to seventh formers, and then we've got to get those seventh formers attracted to the club. So I think when you get players who already have an in at a club, they'll probably stay in the game a bit better. Like, I was pushing to get more seventh formers involved in senior club rugby.
Right, yeah.
And so then they're still at school, they're playing senior club, and then they'll continue to play.
Are there, like, club and school battles and things like that? Is that an issue in rugby?
Well, not really, but you see, like, the big powerhouses in Auckland at the moment are obviously Howick. You know,
yeah,
you've got a great program out there, and they tend to feed, because it's Howick, they tend to feed Marist out
right.
That way. Then your other big powers are like Mags and Ags. Ags is looking pretty good this year, so Mags is probably over the Ponsonby side
yeah.
of the city. You know, Auckland's a hard place to get around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good to see that with that's the way you've got to keep people in the game.
We talked about, obviously, the World Cup, which was going to be this year, is now going to be next year. So for this year's comp, were you probably not actually planning to have your Black Ferns until a few months ago?
No, I wasn't. I had bolstered up my HPU with a few players, and then, obviously, that's what happened. But it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no.
You know, it just means the girls are going to be in the HPU for, you know, 1 year longer. We'll definitely, you know, with the World Cup next year, we've got to bolster it up even more again.
So what do you do with those players? Because I guess, B competitions, development competitions, things that are still, that unions kind of need to invest in for the women's game, right? You wanted to get them game time because it kind of sucks when you're just training all the time and then you don't get a game.
Yeah. We found that last year when we had to carry bigger squads because there was no B competition, and it was really tough getting people game time and keeping them interested. So what we did in the Northern Region this year, we got together Northland, Auckland counties and Waikato, and we put our hands up and said we'd put together a B comp this year. So that starts on the 24th.
Oh, cool.
Runs alongside the, and it's only just, it's 3-4 games, so runs alongside the FPC, and it allows us to drop players down from our FPC to play. What we've also done is we've made a commitment for it to be predominantly an under 23 team as a B, so to develop younger players, not somewhere we put people who are a little bit older. So hoping that's going to go well. It's being run on a smell of an oily rag and on the backing of some great people around the Northern Region.
Yeah, so that's basically you and your counterparts at other unions sorting that out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the unions have to back you?
Yeah, so I'm very lucky. Auckland's great. Same with, I've been working with Chad out in counties. They're great. Northland are very supportive of their B team. And Waikato with Wayne Maxwell, you know. Yeah. So they all wanted, no, Bay Plenty wanted to. They just said they didn't have the depth this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're pretty lucky that we were able to sort this out. It was hard work for
a while. I can imagine. Is the way it is with some of the Farah Palmer Cup unions and why it's probably good that we're split between the Premiership and Championship again, that the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, in the sense of the bigger unions, you guys can push to do something like this, whereas a Tasman, a Hawke's Bay, whomever, and to try and get them up to the next level is tricky?
Yeah, and also I it's tougher on Tasman because they're isolated, they're at the top of the South Island. It's really tough for them to cheaply get a game, whereas we're right beside counties, we're right beside North Harbour, we're an hour and a half away, you know, Northland, we were looking at meeting halfway, that sort of stuff. So it's an easier geographical problem for us to have. I'm not saying that Auckland, you know, Auckland doesn't have a lot of budget for this, but we want to make it happen.
Okay, comp this year. Who's going to beat Canterbury? How do you beat Canterbury? Let's lay it out right now. Because what are they going with? Will this be a five-peat? Yeah. They are going for a five-peat. That's what they're aiming for.
They're going for a five-peat, and, you know, they've had some really good years. They were lucky last year, but, you know, champions are lucky. So they came through in that last play of the game, I think it was. Against Waikato. I thought Waikato had a wonderful year last year. You know, I think it's going to be really tight this year. Canterbury have obviously picked up, you know, two or three very good players from around the country, which will bolster them a little bit. Waikato, I think, are on a roll from the last couple of years, so they'll be strong. I'm thinking counties might be a little bit underdone. They've lost a few girls to that NRL competition, so they had a couple of, you know, in their midfield they were great. So, and obviously injuries, Ari's a massive part of their team, so, but I saw her understudy playing, she was good.
Yeah, so Arahiana Marino Tohini, county's captain, out injured. Canterbury have picked up Rosie Kelly from Otago, Amy Duplessis from Otago, and Marcel Parks from Wellington. Not bad.
Pretty good.
And I don't think they've really lost anyone, have they?
They're all contract. Oh, are they contracted?
I don't know if Rosie is, but Amy was Black Ferns last year. So, yeah, so they're not bad pickups. What is it that they have done so well in the last? Because it was always Auckland in women's rugby and the domestic comp. What has Canterbury done so well as an outsider looking in for the last few years?
Well, I mean, I came back in 2019, so they were already kind of on a roll. I think, you know, they've got a good setup down there. They train really well. They're focused. They have good players in certain positions. You know, can you imagine Canterbury without Kendra Kotzis? Mm. How would they run? Would they run as well? Meh. I don't know. So, you know,
not that we want Kendra Coxies not to be playing, right? Because I know you love watching her play too.
The Kenj is great. I love watching her. And when I talk to anybody who's a halfback, I go, watch how she controls the pace of the game. That's her biggest thing is she understands how to control things. So, yeah, she's good.
What about Auckland then?
Well, look, Auckland's, I think we've been there or thereabouts. So, you know, we've had a couple of really quite good seasons. Last year was, I felt like we were only getting started when we hit the semis just because of, and I don't want to use it as an excuse. You know, we had some up and down performances last year, but that's okay. I think we've got some young, exciting players this year. We've got some old heads coming back, which I was kind of chasing them for a while. So I'm excited with Doris Tofutau's back, Mali Hufanga, Angelina Luatua.
Oh, you have got some good old heads coming back.
Karina Nanaivai, you know, so she's been out with injury for a while. So it's kind of some really exciting players, and they're not old. Like, Mali's 25, I think, and we think she's been around for 20 years. But very exciting players.
But does that help? That must help bridge the gap because you've got, you know, your Eloise Blackwell, Alicia Pilnow, you've got some really experienced black ferns, and then you've got your very young ones. To have those ones through the middle, that must be a real bonus this season.
Yeah, and I think too that, you know, 2019 we had a lot of youngies, like we had a lot of 16, 17 year olds, and now this will be their third season, so I'm thinking they're going to be making better decisions on the pitch, performing under pressure. It's really tough when you're that young and you get thrown into an FPC. So I'm hoping 3 years down the track, this is going to be the perfect time.
But you've got some injuries as well?
Yeah, unfortunately we do.
Some biggies.
Yeah, some biggies, unfortunately. You know, we lost the likes of Lisa Mulia, who I think would have been great this year. She's
You'd pinch from up the road.
Wow.
She'd made the decision to come from counties to Auckland.
Yeah, she had. So we were lucky to pick her up, and she had been training really well, and unfortunately she re-injured her shoulder. So she's pretty much, well, she is gone for the season. We've just got injuries to a couple of big black ferns like Charm, Charmaine McMenamin, Lisha Pearl Nelson is also. Petu, Patricia Maliapu is out at the moment as well. So it's going to be interesting, gives people chances.
Is it just bad luck, just the way it's happened?
Mate, it's just the way it happens. Like, I think we've been really lucky the last few years with injuries. You know, last year our only big injury would have been two, was Liana broke her leg and Joey ruptured her Achilles. So other than that, we didn't really have any long, we had nothing going into the season. This year it's all come from clubs, so my club must be getting tough.
I was going to say, is a club game, yeah, gone up a notch,
it must
perhaps.
Be.
and before, I mean, before we wrap up, just quickly to go back to that Super game as well, the Chiefs and the Blues and those two franchises, but the Blues in particular, who really pushed to make that happen. How significant was that game, and I guess to lead into Farah Palmer and to lead into what's ahead for the rest of the women's comp?
Yeah, I think it was hugely exciting. Great to see, and there'd been murmurs of it for a year or so, and then they tried to get it up and running for February, and it just wasn't a great time for, because nobody's playing at that time, women's rugby. But, you know, Andrew Hoare really, really pushed for it. The CEO from the Chiefs was right behind it as well. And I think you saw a really, an interesting game, you know, good high-quality game.
Yeah.
Cracking game, some really good names out there, high quality, and I think we'll see that again with that elite competition next year. They've just, obviously, it looks like it's going ahead, they've just advertised for head coaches, so that's just gone out. It's going to be semi-professional, which is kind of cool. It'll still be a little difficult, it'll be like a Thursday to Sunday type thing, which will be tough on some players. I think what we'll be doing is ring-fencing 23 and your area, and then the rest go into a pool, and it's first dibs.
Are you putting CV in?
Well, who knows, maybe.
I'm just going to check. And before we go, Auckland against who in the Farah Palmer Cup final in a couple of months' time?
Well, I'm hoping we're there, and if we're there, I'd love to play Canterbury because they're a great team.
All right. Anna Richards, thank you so much for your time and everything you are doing in the women's rugby game. Of course, Farah Palmer Cup starts this weekend. Every single game for the first time ever, all live here on Sky Sport. You will not want to miss it. And, of course, stay tuned for more Playmakers Rugby stories here on Sky.